folks. This is War Room Live on Alex Jones Network. You can follow us, of course, by going to alexjoneslive.com. Follow us at AJNLive on rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And oh my gosh, I really do have so much to get into in this segment. So let's get into it. Yesterday, we were supposed to be joined by Chud the Builder. He's a man who goes by Chud the Builder. His actual name is Dalton Etherly. But an hour before he was slated to come on our show, he was involved in a bit of a firearm combat. He was involved in a shootout. He, of course, if you don't know, is a live streamer that goes around and uses his free speech to the maximum extent possible. In other words, he basically is trying to break the taboo of saying the N-word. And I think he's got a point. I don't know if I remember saying to him at the time, you know, I had him on the show a couple months ago when because he would go viral for filming these things, because you would just kind of come upon these instances of African-American people freaking out about something, and you would film them and mock them and make fun of them and say, oh, look, they're chimping out. And so he sort of went viral over this. And when he was on our show, he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to make this like a thing that I do. And at the time, I remember being like, how's that going to work? Because so far, the videos that have gone viral have been because like you just stumbled upon something happening, or you just filmed something that was occurring outside of what you were doing. So like, you're going to go like provoke people. It's kind of strange. But then I saw him doing it and it's like, okay, this works out. People know who he is. He sort of antagonizes people and sort of challenges them and go, oh, if I'm wrong, then walk away kind of thing. Oh, you're going to freak out and chimp out at me. You're sort of proving me right. And that was sort of his whole shtick. Again, you can debate the efficacy of this or whatever. But I do think that at the core of it all, he's got a point, because the way language is being weaponized these days, and hell, I think there's a line to draw between the way the N-word is used to justify murder, even after or attacks, physical attacks, even after the attacks take place, right? We talked about this yesterday. People are sharing the story a lot. It's one of the most egregious, but not, you know, really that unique. But in San Francisco, when a man was stabbed and then used the N-word on his stabber after being stabbed, and the stabber was acquitted because he used the N-word. That's crazy. That's insane. Like, that is too far. It's gone too far, folks. Yeah, here's the only footage of the actual struggle that we've seen, and the audio isn't much help, so it's really hard to determine what exactly happened here. Unfortunately, we do know that he has been charged with a litany of very severe crimes. We'll go over those and explain those a little bit. But that being said, and I'll show you some other, examples of, you know, things, the way this has gone too far, and the way that we really are stuck in this inverted social media discussion paradigm, where white people in America are the only people who are discriminated against, who are openly mocked and denigrated and hated, legally discriminated against by the government, by programs that the government gives out, grants and welfare and all this sort of stuff that is only there for, you know, they never say everybody except for white people. They say, well, this loan is for, you know, minorities, you know, whatever term they use, or they'll just list them out and be like, oh, it's not, we're not excluding white people. We're just only including black people, Hispanic people, Asian, you know, Pacific Islander people, Native American. And it's like, just say non-white. It's all for non-white people. And yet, when something like this happens, we still have this instinct of like, this is the worst thing in the world, and we cannot allow, you know, white supremacy to dominate. And it's like, that's not a thing, and it hasn't been a thing for 100 years. So what are we talking about? Whatever, 70, 80 years, whatever it is, to any real degree. So like, really what's happening here is like the discriminated against, oppressed majority in this country, which is crazy, but that's literally how it's happening. Basically have a target on our back for ever expressing dissatisfaction with the state of affairs. I don't know if going around yelling the N-word at people is the most productive way to approach this, but I also don't think you can expect people subjected to this year over year over year to just quietly take it forever. Why would you? And my sense about Chud the Builder is that he sort of felt like he had nothing left to lose. He felt like because he's a white guy, he's lost his job, he's been discriminated against, he's like nothing's going well for him, and he's just like, screw it. If they're going to ruin my life, I'll ruin my life. If they're going to discriminate against me, I'll give them a reason to. I get it. I get the impulse to do it. However, in a way, I feel like he had a bit of a death wish and was kind of knew something like this would happen and wasn't exactly avoiding it that much, which I think was irresponsible. And you know, I hope it works out for him. I hope he isn't convicted of all these things he's charged him with, because he'll go away for over 25 years. There is a fundraiser for Chud the Builder, a.k.a. Dalton Etherly. It's raised over $100,000 since he was arrested Wednesday on charges of attempted murder in Tennessee. This story is at Alex Jones Live. Live streamer Chud the Builder, famous for chimp out videos, raises over $100,000 after arrest for attempted murder. This is the list of charges here. Law enforcement officers respond to shots fired incident as a result of the investigation. He was detained by criminal investigators and charged with criminal attempt murder, employing a firearm during a dangerous felony, aggravated assault, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. Etherly was booked into Montgomery County Jail, where he's being held pending arraignment, at which time bond will be set. So those are big charges, right? It'd be a lot, you know, better for him if it was like, well, we've charged you with, you know, negligent discharge of a firearm. You know, sometimes it can go that way. Obviously, they want to make an example out of this guy, and I imagine they'll be throwing the book at him, which, again, is it's like we think we live in the 1950s, where, like, racial abuse against black people is, like, a major problem for them, and discrimination against black people is keeping them down. It's literally the opposite now, though. So I really feel like we need to update our responses to things like this to comport with the actual way the world works these days. And of course, the person that he shot was a man apparently identified as Joshua Fox. He's been charged with aggravated domestic assault after allegedly threatening his wife with a screwdriver and attempting to burn a house down in 2024. On April 18th, 2024, in Clarksville, Tennessee, officers responded to a domestic incident at Tower Drive apartment. Joshua Fox told officers his wife would not let him leave. His wife told officers Joshua was upset over vehicles issues preventing him from leaving. She claimed Joshua had an aerosol can and a lighter and attempted to burn the house down. It was actually an apartment building with a bunch of other families in it. When she tried to take the can away, they both fell to the ground. She said Joshua then grabbed a screwdriver and held it to her side, causing her to back away. Officers located the aerosol can and the screwdriver as described. So again, you've got a guy who basically probably should have been in jail anyway, but as always, you know, you can't blame the poor innocent black person for their own actions, right? That would be granting them agency, you know, and that's too respectful for modern liberalism. So, you know, they let him out, and he goes and attacks Dalton. So help Chud and his family, givesendgo.com/helpchud. But let me tell you another story that happened yesterday. It's sort of the inversion of this and more represents the much, much, much more common form of racial attack, not just in this country. This time it takes place in Canada, but it's a universal in white countries that this is the way things are going. And this is, it's like, obviously this isn't happening in America, but it will be very soon. And it is in a certain way, just not to this degree yet. But when I read you this story, I think it should make pretty clear why the policing of language is like a deadly, deadly thing for a country. And the way that white people are discriminated against and hated and you know, told, you know, the authorities are like, white people are the only ones who can ever be hateful. They're the only ones who can commit hate crimes. White people are the only ones who... It's having consequences that are literally killing people. As I was reading this story, I literally like gasped out loud, and the whole crew was like, whoa, what's wrong? What happened? Oh, you'll see what happened. Story from Daily Mail. Sikh man, Indian Sikh religion, stabbed an 18-year-old university student to death with an 8-inch ceremonial knife, claiming he'd been racially abused. Now, he wasn't racially abused, of course. but that doesn't matter. Finance student Henry Nowak, 18, was on his way home from a night out when he was allegedly attacked by stranger Vikram Digwa, 23, with an 8-inch Shastar blade. Digwa was caught on camera saying, quote, "I'm a bad man," before the fatal attack, jurors were told. He's now on trial of accused of murder alongside his mother, Kiran Kao, who's accused of assisting the offender. Prosecutors said she went to the scene before running home with the knife to stash it amongst an arsenal of weapons there. They both deny the charges. Southampton Crown Court heard Mr. Nowak was in his first term studying accountancy and finance. So he was a freshman at university when he was out for a night on the town December 3rd, 2023, with friends from his football team. The teenager went home around 11 p.m. having, quote, drunk less than the legal limit to drive. So he's a little bit buzzed. He's walking home at 11 p.m., not that late. Jurors were told he was speaking to friends on Snapchat when he came across Digwa. After he was stabbed, Mr. Nowak tried to climb a fence to escape. But Digwa was, quote, aggressively pursuing him, leaving a trail of blood, the court heard. Police were called to the scene, but arrested Mr. Nowak, the stabbing victim, after Digwa claimed he'd been racially abused. Mr. Nowak was then handcuffed before passing out and dying in the street a short time later. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? This young guy, this freshman in college, is walking home at 11 p.m., looking at his phone, chatting to friends on Snapchat, when some insane Indian dude stabs him with an 18-inch knife. This kid is, like, you can only imagine, frantic, running away, leaving a